And I'm just so grateful for, like you said, being able to have software and different things so we're able to communicate in real time and be able to communicate with you and be able to share this gospel of Jesus Christ with you on this morning. Yes, the Safe House Church, we start early. We start at 9 o'clock on most mornings. We start at 9 o'clock, and, you know, because I just believe that we just go in and seek God because, you know, we're a family church, and we believe in serving your family. You know, God put us here, and you do all these things, and you save the whole world, yet you lose your own family, and I don't want that to be the case for us. So I know many of us work, you know, we work hard, and a lot of us work sometimes 6 days a week, some seven, and because of that, we want to still honor God, so we try to get in early, and we get in early in that morning and go ahead and worship God, and then be able to enjoy the rest of that day with our family, that Sunday, with our families, to be able to spend time at home, to recuperate, to rest, that Sabbath day that God has given us. So I'm just so grateful for what God is doing in this particular space, in this particular time. So would you journey with me into the Word of God? Also, I know some may ask, how can they support us financially? We do the Cash App. The Cash App, you can just cash up us at the Safe House Church GSO. That's Safe House Church GSO. You will see the little Safe House logo that you see here will come up. That's how you know you got the right place. And also, I'll put in some other information later. But that's not what I'm here for today. You know, we do need things to be able to support the ministry. However, I'm here to tell you about, this is just another catfish. Come on, somebody. Are y'all with me this morning? If you with me, just type in your computer real quick. This is just another catfish. See, this is just another catfish. What we're going through right now, we call it COVID-19, or some would call it the coronavirus, and we've seen all kinds of jokes about it, and we've seen the devastation of people losing their lives over in China, and we see the devastation as it's starting to come here to the United States, and me being a numbers guy, me being a mathematician, I'm looking at the numbers and saying, well, the flu is a little bit more deadlier than this, but I'm also a guy who studied infectious disease, what we call the SIR model. The SIR model stands for S-I-R. S-I-R. What is S-I-R? S-I-R stands for simply this. S is the susceptible. So like what happens in when you're one of these models or infectious disease models, you're in one of the three states at all times. You're either in the susceptible part, which is the S, or you I, which means you're infected, you're in the infectious part, or you are, that you're recovering. And you in one of the three states at all time when we talk about infectious disease. So you either susceptible, you either susceptible to the disease, you are already infected with the disease, or you are in recovery. And you're in one of the three states at all times. So what happens is, after you meet recovery, there is a possibility that you can be susceptible to that thing again. Oh, come on, somebody. And I'm talking good already this morning. It is possible that you can be susceptible to it again. So, you know, I don't know if they've said it or if they've been able to prove it yet that, you know, once you actually have the virus and you recover, are you not able to get it again? Do your body build an immunity to it? Well, I look at the SIR model. SIR, let me type that in for you. That's one of the nice things about being online. You can actually type some things here. S, you know, what I was saying, the SIR model, what we find here is that this model is a cycle. So you can be in S, susceptible, and then you can get infected, and now you're in I, and then you move from I to recovery, hopefully, and then as you recover, you can be what? Back to susceptible again. Mm-hmm. Now, I find this model, even though this is an infectious disease model, this was something I learned when I was in graduate school, but I also find that it is plausible in today's terms. Oh, come on, somebody. What do you mean that it's plausible in today's terms? See, sometimes when we start out, we find ourselves in sin, and that sin has gotten to the point that sin has infected our being, and from that infecting our being, we hit the R, which means repent. Come on, somebody. See, everybody's talking, you know, seeing, you know, today, but 2 Chronicles 14 say, if my people should call upon my name and humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their evil ways, then what? They would hear from heaven, then he would come in and forgive their sins, and he would heal the land. Mm-hmm. That's what the word says. But one of the key parts in there is that R part, repentance, meaning what? To turn away. So I can't keep doing what I'm doing and continue to expect to grow in that space. Oh, are y'all with me? See, you know, from what we understand and what we know right now, they're saying that this virus may have generated from a bat. And if, you know, we out there playing with bats, or they were out there eating them or whatever, because from my understanding, and please don't quote me on this, that the bat might have came from a supermarket. And since it was in a supermarket, they were there, I'm assuming they were going to eat it. And maybe they did consume it, and it made them sick. And now that sickness has contaminated everybody else. I'm reminded of a time that somebody in the Garden of Eden ate something they were told not to eat. Oh, are y'all with me this morning? Somebody ate something they were told not to eat. And he said, don't eat of the tree of good and evil. And when she ate that tree, she was infected with sin. Oh, come on, somebody. She was infected with sin. And since she was infected with sin through her disobedience, what did she do? She passed it on to somebody else. And she passed that apple, or as we would say, that apple, we know it was an apple, but she passed, as the Bible says, she passed that fruit on to her husband. And instead of him saying no, he ate of it. And now he was infected with sin. Oh, come on, somebody. And now the sin that we know is in the world has been passed down through to you and I. Because the Bible said, well, we were born into sin. And this is why we need a savior, because we have been born into this sin. Oh, y'all with me? Come on. I know I got some believers out there listening to me on this morning. So now that we were what, born into sin, we have to have what, a redeemer or a savior to what, take us out of that sin, to get us out of that mold, to pull us out of that thing, to remove us from where we are. Oh, come on. I don't know about you, but Peter was a rascal, and Pete can be a rascal sometimes, but I'm constantly in that SIR mode. I'm constantly trying to what, as I recover, as I repent, to get back to that place of what, of just being, you know, in God's presence. Because when we are in sin, it separates us from the presence of God. It separates our connection. It separates our connectedness. It separates how he has us what, to live that way. He said, I come that you might have life, and that you might have life more abundantly. Oh, come on, somebody. What, that you might have life more abundantly. So he wants me to what, live life on a level that, he didn't say it wouldn't be trouble. He did not say that things wouldn't come. He did not say that pestilence was not being delayed. But he did say that he would keep me through the storm. For the Bible says like this, I'm young and now old, but yet I never seen the righteous forsaken, nor their seed begging for bread. That I am more than a conqueror through Christ Jesus, that what strengthens us. And I ask on this morning, hallelujah, Jesus, that he keeps us, and he keeps us going, and he looks out for us, and he lets us know that when he has not forgotten us, that you know, if he said he's going to do it, what? It shall come to pass. Oh, come on, somebody. I don't know who wants to call this morning, but hey, I'm in the middle of something, and we're going to go forward this morning. Hallelujah, hallelujah. So we're going to talk about, it's just another catfish. Hey, I want you to do a quick favor for me real quick. Hit the share button. Hit the share button. There's somebody else on your timeline that needs to hear this. It's somebody who may not be on your timeline right now who's going to hear this a little later. So hit the share button. Let them know that what? The gospel professor is bringing forth the word this morning, that, yeah, I'm here at 9 o'clock. This is what we do at the safe house. We get in early. We praise them early in the morning. We go forth early in the morning. Let somebody else know. Just hit the share button. Just do me a quick favor. Just hit the share button and say, hey, the gospel professor's on. Oh, come on, somebody. The safe house is on. And I'm just so grateful for what God's going to do today. Hallelujah. And that's my introduction. So if you never met me before, what you see is what you get. I practice what I preach. I'm a man of faith. I'm not a man who's perfect. I'm a man who's made some errors. I'm a man who's fallen a couple of times on his face. But the difference is that what I've gotten to the point that where I've learned to get up. Hallelujah. I've learned to get up. And what I'm telling you today is not that you're not going to make some mistakes. It's not that you're not going to go through some things. But you know what? You got to learn what? To get up. And even in this, that what? This too shall pass. That this too, which we're going through, it shall pass. However, we got to what? Get ourselves in the mindset. We got to, however, put ourselves what? Going forward and say, God, for God I live and God I die. That what, Lord, I have to know that you got me and you will protect me. So today I want to start with the book of Romans. I'm going to go Romans. I'm pulling it up on the screen for you. For those who don't have Bibles, that we're able to pull it up here, I'm going to say Romans 7 and 20 is where I want to start today. Romans 7 and 20. Romans 7 and 20, the book of Romans. Hallelujah, Jesus, for God is good. Hallelujah. Hey, while you out there and you're on your phone, just give me a shout out where you're from. Let me know that you're watching. You know, that's one of the nice things about being online. You know, you can interact with people a little bit more this way. So if you would, just go ahead and type in and say, hey, I'm watching from California. I'm watching from New York. I'm watching from here in North Carolina. It doesn't matter where you're from, but I'm just grateful for you to be in this space with us on today. Hallelujah. So we're in verses, well, Romans 7 and 20, and it says this. Now, if I do that, it is not more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. I find then a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me. That when I would do good, that evil is present with me. Now, let's go over real quick to Job 14 and 1. Job 14 and 1. And he says this. Man that is born of a woman is a few days and full of trouble. He cometh forth like a flower and is cut down. He fleeth also as a shadow and continueth not. And dost thou open thy eyes upon such an one and bringest me into judgment with thee? Man, his days were short and full of trouble, and he bringeth back a flower but unto thee. So I would use for a subject for you on today, my subject would simply be this. It's just another catfish. It's just another catfish. Would you real quickly just hit the share button? If you're not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ and you want to share this with somebody, please hit the share button that somebody else will come on. Thank you, brother. I'm Elder Holly. And so God bless you too, sir, and your Fresh Fire Ministries there in Winston-Salem. Hallelujah. All right. So it's just another catfish. So, you know, as I was looking and I was reading and we see all these things, many of us are familiar with the show called Catfish. And we know the show Catfish is, you know, that this, you know, especially my millennials, but those who may not know, is it was basically a thing of a man who had met somebody on the internet, and he was talking with this person through the internet, and he was conversating with this person through the internet, and got to a point that he had an intimate relationship. I know most of the time when we think about intimacy, most of us are thinking sex, but you can have an intimate relationship with someone and not have physical contact. Oh, come on, somebody. Those my married folk, you know what I'm talking about. That's a level that you can get with your spouse that you can be so in deep and so far in love with them that you never ever have physical contact and yet feel that because what? You're sharing yourself with one another. You're telling them about things that you have not told anybody else. You're sharing with them things and thoughts and admirations and career goals and dreams and all these things that you share with individuals to what? To build this bond. This is much how Christ wants to be with us, that he desires to have an intimate relationship with us. He desires to have an intimate relationship with you. He desires to know you in a way that he never knew you before. He desires you to know him in a way that you never knew him before. So what? He asks us to spend time with them. So as this man was spending time with whoever it was online, and they developed this relationship, and it got to a point that he was just so overwhelmed, and he was so ready to meet this person and decided to meet this person. And he gets to the point that he finally gets to meet this person. And when he meets this person, to his shock and his awe and his surprise, the person is not like the person who was in the picture. The person that he had thought he had been exchanging with. To see, men, we start first by our eyes. I mean, the physical man, that our eyes what must attract us first. Our eye gate gets us to look. And because she was attractive or whatever, or if it was a she and he was attractive, then what? They started to pay more attention to the individual. And now because of that, now they've gotten past the look. And now they're trying to find out some more about the individual, the intimate parts of the individual, the parts of the individual that they connected to, the parts of the individual that they could relate to, the parts of the individual that they could share to all. Okay, I'm not talking to anybody this morning. So what he started to do is he was spending this time with them until he got to the point, said, I just want to see you face to face. And he got to the point that he convinced that individual that I want to see you face to face. And they get to the point and they see each other face to face, and to his shock and awe, the person whom he thought he's built this relationship with, the person he thought he had stood with, the person that he was sharing his intimate details with, and his thoughts and his career and admirations and all of this stuff, was not the person. Oh, come on, not the person he thought she was. What he found was that it was somebody who was impersonating somebody else. that they would impersonate somebody else, that they took somebody else's picture and they put these things, but they used their own personality to engage because they were afraid what they looked like, and they were afraid how people would perceive them. Or maybe they were overweight, or maybe they wasn't as attractive as they thought they should be, and maybe they didn't have all the money they thought they should have, and maybe they weren't the skin color they thought they should be in. And many times, you and I, beloved, we find ourselves in these spaces, in that we find ourselves almost impersonating another person. We go into places that we're not showing who we are. We go into places where we don't pull God first, that we don't seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness and believe that he's going to add all these things unto us. Why? Because we go with the persona, because we don't want people to think a certain way about us, and we don't want people to feel a certain way about us, and we don't want to be perceived or judged or a prejudice against us. But what we have to find here today, beloved and sisters and brothers, is that that we go before God just as I am. We go before him with the naked truth of who we are, that we go before him with grace and power and love and that sound mind that he's given us, not to walk in fear, but we have to go boldly before the throne of the Lord. And what we find here today is that sometimes we're in a place where people are just another catfish, in the sense that what they're doing is that they're presenting something that they're really not. That it's something being presented as a thing that it is, but it's really not. But I'm here to tell you today, brothers and sisters, that what we see with this virus is not the end. What we see with this virus and what's going on in the land is not the end. It's just a symptom of the signs of the time. But I'm here to tell you today that it's just another catfish, in the sense that it's a catfish that is presenting itself to be something that it's not. That it's presenting itself to be an all-in thing, but it's not. It's just another phase that the Bible reminds us by Job that man's days were going to be short and that they were going to be full of trouble. He told us that these things were going to come. He told us that pestilence was going to be in the land. He told us that there was going to be war and rumor of war. He told us that there were going to be economic collapses. He told us there was going to be a time when things were going to be scarce, but he said that my people who are called upon my name, that he was going to protect us and he was going to keep us. And I have to know that thing. So point number one today, that anything can happen, that anything can happen. I know many of us are worried and walked around and said, well, I'm not saying be stupid. I'm not saying don't cover up. I'm not saying no go, but you don't go in fear, that you go and you do the things that you know you need to do for your family and yourself, that you go in and you do those things, but you use wisdom in the places you go, that you cover up, that you cover yourself. The Bible said what? That they should be able to pick up serpents and they would not bite them. What did he mean by that, Peter? I'm glad that you asked. What he meant by that was that if a snake was there on the ground, you just don't go pick it up because you saw a snake. But if you picked it up accidentally, say this, you was picking up firewood or you was trying to remove some things and that snake bit you, then what? That you would not be harmed. See, some people want to test God, just like the devil did. The devil told God, he said, if you be God, then what? Jump from these mountains. Flee yourself from these mountains, and what? The angels will come and save you. And what did he do? He said that man should not live by bread alone, but what? Every word that comes out of the mouth of God. And that, no, that we should not be in this place. That what? That you shall not tempt the Lord thy God. And some of us have gotten to the place that we want to tempt God. And some of us find ourselves in places and situations that we tempt God and say, I'm going to try this, and I'm going to push the envelope, and I'm going to do this, and I'm going to do that. And I'm here to tell you today that what? He's here to protect us, but we have to use godly wisdom. Oh, anything can happen. You can be walking down the street and get hit by a truck. You can be walking, you know, things are falling out of the air and hit people. Lightning strikes and, you know, things in your home. All these things that we put our faith in, all these things we put our trust in, all these things we put our strength in, all these things that we consider. But yet God is still able to keep us. Oh, come on, somebody. So point number one, remember today, if you ain't heard anything else, that anything can happen. That anything can happen. But you know what? It's just another catfish. So now I found myself, why did this guy call this show Catfish? And what I found out is, as I continued to read it, I found some things on Wikipedia, and I heard this now. I remember now because I heard Brother Jake say it. But also that what? Now I find that the show was connected with being a catfish because of what? It was people pretending to be something they're not. I'm here to tell you that the devil pretends to be an angel of light. Oh, come on. The Bible said he would transform himself as into what? An angel of light. Oh, come on, somebody. That he can present himself as an angel of light. He presented himself what? As a wolf in sheep's clothing. He presents himself as that good person. He presents himself, but what? All you got to do is what? Try those spirits. The Bible said, Try the spirit and see if it be of God. He says, try the spirit to see if it be of God. So now you have the opportunity to what? To try the spirit, because these things will come and say, God, is this you, Lord? Is this you, Lord? Lord, let me hear from you. Gideon tried the spirit. And he asked God, said, make the fleece wet and make the fleece dry. And he took, but so we have the opportunity that we serve a God that we can try the spirit. And I'm grateful that we can try the spirit. So what do we find about this catfish? It's only a catfish. Is that what? In this catfish, that the catfish played a role. And what did the catfish role they played? And from my understanding, I believe it was Eastern Asia or some country. Basically, what they had is that they had these fish that they were shipping across the country. And if you know anything about fish, that, you know, of course, fish swim in water. And they had them in these things what they call vats, or basically big aquariums or big tanks. And they had fish in there. And what they were finding was, by the time that the fish got to their destination, that the fish were mushy. The fish didn't taste good because the fish almost got to a point that the fish was complacent. How many of you know you got to be careful about complacency? Look, you know, so the fish would get complacent in the tank because they knew they were going to be fed. They didn't have to chase any food. They didn't have to worry about anything coming after them. They didn't have to worry about stuff coming to them. They didn't have to worry about stuff sticking on them. So the fish got complacent in their trip there. So by the time they got to their destination to be part of the restaurant, now they were mushy and people didn't really want to eat them and they were nasty. So somebody came up with the bright idea that they put catfish in the tank. And what the catfish in the tank would do is that catfish, if you know anything about a catfish, he's a bottom feeder, but he's also a predator. That catfish, well, what? They will eat up anything. They are almost like the vacuum cleaners of the freshwater fish. You know, I'm an old country boy. I'm a fisherman, and I love the catfish. I don't eat them. They ain't got scales. I don't fool with them. But nonetheless, I enjoy the catch because they're strong fish and they're good fighting fish and they're really hard. You know, they can be tough to catch sometimes. So even with the catfish here, they put the catfish in the tanks. The reason that they put the catfish in the tanks is because what the catfish would do is the catfish would chase around the cods. Oh, come on, somebody. I'm going somewhere with this. That the catfish would chase around the cods in the tank. By the catfish chasing the cods around in the tank, what would happen is that the fish would be more vibrant. The fish would be stronger. The fish would grow. The fish would be good. And by the time they actually got to their destination where people were ready to eat them, the fish was just as good as the day that they were caught. What am I saying, Peter? Do you not know what God, sometimes he allows trouble to come in our lives to chastise us. He allows troubles to come in to what? To make us strong. It's these things that you get to try your faith. Do you not know what your level of faith is until you had the opportunity to be tried? You don't know what your level of faith is until what you're put into that crucible, you're put into that thing, you're put into that place, you're put into that circumstance, you're put into that place that you have to rely on God and say, Lord, for Lord God, I live and God, I die. That Lord, if you said, if I have the faith of a grain of a mustard seed, I should speak to that mountain and that mountain has to move. You don't know until what you gotten into that place. So sometimes God has to allow us to get in that place. So point number two today is that we walk by faith and not by sight. Come on, somebody. That's 2 Corinthians 5:7 says we walk by faith and not by sight. But we know Hebrews 11 tells us what, that faith is the substance of things hoped for, yet the evidence of things unseen. So what, we must have our hope. So I'm here to tell you today, brothers and sisters, don't lose your hope. That if you lose your hope, that you're going to be doomed. It was often said in the 80s, they said, I got hope, so I don't need dope. I got hope, so I don't need dope. And we find that people who were using dope and doing these kind of things was using them. Why? Because they found themselves in a place of hope and, hopelessness, that they didn't find any hope. They didn't find how things were going to turn around. They didn't find out how they were going to get out of their financial situation, or how they were going to be out of their marriage, or how they were going to be in their work life, and how they were going to be in relationship with each other and adults and all these kind of things. So we find ourselves in a place of hopelessness. Baby, I'm trying to tell you today, please don't lose your hope, because if you lose your hope, then that's going to affect your faith. And if it's going to affect your faith, then now you have, because the Bible says it's impossible to please God without faith. So number two on today is walk by faith and not by sight. We cannot be deterred by the things that we see going on in this world right now. Right now, you look at it right now, the stock market is bad. It's gone to the toilet. If you look at it, people didn't took all the food. That's gone to the toilet. And now you can't even find any toilet paper. That's gone. And you know, it's so many things that people can look and look shame on and say, oh God, what is going to happen? But I know Jehovah Jireh. That my Bible tells me that he is my provider, that he's Jehovah Nissi, that he's going to reign in victory. And I have to stand on that truth, and I have to stand on that promise, to know that if he said that he was going to do it, that it shall come to pass. And I don't know about you, but I get excited on that. I feel my help coming on right now. But God is good, and you know his mercy is enduring for forever. So if I move on to my third point today, I want to let you know, brothers and sisters, before I get out of here, that this too shall pass. Oh, come on, somebody. This too shall pass. Turn with me real quick to 2 Corinthians 4 and 17. 2 Corinthians 4 and 17. Hallelujah. Then I'm going to get out of here so you can enjoy your day. 2 Corinthians 4 and 17. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Jesus. Jesus, he is so good. Hallelujah. 2 Corinthians, we want to go to 2 Corinthians, the fourth chapter. Hallelujah. The fourth chapter and verse 17. And it says this, as I pulled it up on the screen for you, it says, for our light affliction. He said, this is light. This is light. Why? Because most of us can, if we get sick, I believe, God, that you're going to recover. But he said, for our light affliction. Oh, let me highlight this for you. Hallelujah, Jesus. He said, for our light affliction, which is but for a moment. How quick is a moment? How quick is a moment? Working for us. This, what you're going through right now, is working for you. This is working for our favor. You got to believe that this is working. God, I don't know how it's going to work in my favor. I don't know how this thing is going to work out. I don't know what this is going to do, but Lord, it's working in your favor. I see it like, Lord, this is some more time I get to spend with my kids instead of being at the job. Lord, this is some more time I get to bond with my wife. Lord, this is some more time I get to do some things around the house that we need to get done. You know, this is some more time, Lord Jesus. What can I do? That way? He said, this working for us. He said, a far more exceedingly and eternal weight of glory. That it's going to be all right, y'all. It's going to be in glory. He said, while we look not at the things which are seen. I didn't told you that we don't walk by faith and not by sight. Stop looking at the things that you see. Because what? We know fear to be what? Simply this. Fear is false evidence appearing real. False evidence appearing real. Let me get it to you one more time. False evidence appearing real. So what we know that what we see, we can't trust. I can't trust my eyes. Do you not know how your eyes work? Your eyes work what? Because your brain creates imagery. So what? Without the brain, all this is what? These lies of mine ain't nothing but light receptacles. They're light receptacles. That what? They just open and receive light. And that how that light is bouncing off things is what interpreted by my brain in the back of my head. In my, you know, and I think it's what, don't get me to say, I'm not even going to try. But it's what, it's in the back of my head. And it's processing that. So what, I cannot believe what I see. I cannot believe what I see. If you hit yourself in the head, back in the head hard enough, your vision will blur. I'm not saying try that, but your vision will blur. So we cannot believe what we see. But he says this. He said, but at the things which are not seen. I don't know about you, but I don't see this air, but I feel it. I breathe it. I need it to be here. Say what? But not think, but for what? For the things which are seen are temporal. You know, this house that God has blessed us with, it's temporal. A strong enough wind to come down, it'll go away. This body that I'm in is graying, y'all. It's getting gray. It gains weight, it loses weight. But it's temporary. I cut myself, it's temporary. But my soul, ooh, come on, somebody. He said, but the things which are not seen are what? Eternal. So what I'm telling you today, brothers and sisters, let's not focus on these things we see. You know, if you listen to these people, people are going to have you going all over the place. They're going to have you in any and everything, and you're going to be all that. And you cannot be blown away by any and other every wind of doctrine. However, the Bible tells us what to be steadfast, unmovable, always abiding in his word. So I have to believe today. It's with my faith that I start. And it's his grace and his mercy that takes me. So the three things I want you to walk away with today is, number one, anything can happen, even to you. Sometimes bad things happen to good people. You're not exempt. What makes you think you're so special that you're exempt? I've had some bad things happen to me, and I had to question God. When Job got tested, he questioned God. Said, God, I'm out here, wait, sit here and die. And sackcloth and ashes. You took my whole family. You allowed all these things to happen, not knowing that what these things were temporal, but just a test of his faith. And we know how that story ends, that God blessed him for double for his trouble, that he had more than he ever had before. Not that we focus on these things, but we have to remind ourselves that these things we see, they go away. But our soul, this is what he's after. See, this body's a rental car. I don't own it. I do my best to take care of it. I do my best to do right by it. But this is a rental car. And at some point, I got to give this back. So when he tells, that's why he said, give this a living sacrifice, holy, something which is pleasing to God, which is a reasonable service. Number two, what I want you to always, that we walk in by faith and not by sight. That's the motto at our church anyway. So when that came up, I was like, my goodness, Lord, we walk in by faith and not by sight, because I don't know what holds tomorrow. You don't know what holds tomorrow. We hope that, you know what, I like to know that we're going to be in our church next week. But I don't know that to be true. I like to know that all of us are going to be able to go back to work and all that. But I already know the kids are going to be out of school, at least in my area, for at least 2 weeks. They're not even going back to school for 2 weeks. You know, my daughter came and asked me last night, Daddy, what does that mean about my grade and all this? I don't know. And as a parent, I get it. It's scary. As a leader, as a husband, and you're an hourly worker and you're going through this, I get it. It is scary. But what? He said, put my faith and trust in him. And that what? He was going to what? He going to delete my past. That he never seen the righteous forsaken nor the seed begging for bread. That we're more than conquerors through Christ Jesus that strengthens us. And we have to trust and believe that what? Even in our due time and our good times, I hope there's also a point that we gather some wisdom that when times are good, that we put away for times like this. When times get bad. You know, we can get to a point in time that you can have all these things and your money mean nothing because what? You can't go out there and you can't buy anything from the store because there's nothing there. So there's other things that we must have in place. Let's use some wisdom, people of God. Let's go forward, people of God, in discipleship, empowerment, and accountability. That's what we work on, discipleship. I'm going to teach you the word of God. Then I'm going to what? I'm going to empower you, and then I'm going to hold you. This is the tough part for most people. I'm going to hold you accountable. I'm going to hold you accountable because God holding me accountable for what I've done with you. So what? Let's be held accountable. Last piece in this is what? That this too shall pass. This is just temporal. It's a temporary situation. It's a temporary inconvenience. It's a temporary circumstance. It's a temporary place that we find ourselves in at this moment. It's a temporary thing that we're going through at this particular point in time. But just know this, that what? God has got our back, and we just got to trust him and know that what? Even if he said, even if I make my bed in hell, there he would be. Even if I decide that I'm done with all of this, he will be there. That what? That he said what? In the 23rd Psalm, he said, that rod and staff is there to comfort me. Mm-hmm. Yea, do I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I should fear no evil, for that rod and staff is there to comfort me. That what means? That if there's a shadow there, that means there must be a sun shining somewhere, and that sun is shining and it's projecting a shadow to remind me that he is still there. This is just another trial of your faith. It's just a catfish. It's not real. It's just a catfish. It's something else to bite at you. It's something to bite at to keep you moving. It's something to bite at you to keep you going. It's something to bite at you to get you to the next level. It's something to bite at you to make you open up this Bible that some of y'all had to blow the dust off of today. It's just something else to get you down on your knees and say, Lord, I'm thankful. Lord, that it's not in my home. Lord, I'm thankful that it's not with my relatives. Lord, I'm thankful that it could have been here or it could have been there. It's just something else to remind you. It's just something else to remind you. The Bible said, what? He chastises them who he loves. So I'm here to remind you today that God chastises them who he loves. And he loves you and he loves me. If there's someone there today who does not know God in the fullness of his power. He says, it starts out in Romans 10 and 9, it says, you believe in your heart and forgive, and it says, believe in your heart and ask him to come in your heart and forgive, ask him for forgiveness and saying he will forgive your sin. And I agree and I get all that. But however, that's more to be done. Because then he goes over to Acts 2 and 38, and he says that you be baptized and for the remission of your sin, then you're going to be filled with this Holy Ghost. Yes, I get it. You walk in a good walk. You're a good person and all that, but you need power. You see, what happens is the Bible said, when I am weak, then he is strong. Well, I mean, how is he strong, Peter? I'm glad you asked. Because when my willpower, and willpower is a phenomenal thing, willpower is a strong thing. But when my willpower runs out, know what happens? His spirit steps up. When I'm ready to quit, his spirit steps up. When I'm ready to walk away, his spirit steps up and says, you got the strength to go on. This is why faith is essential. No quitting. You got to go on. This brother, you are your brother's keeper. There's somebody here that needs to hear that. There's somebody here who needs to that push. There's somebody here that needs to know that they can go on. And therefore, now what? Now you're strengthened by him. I get weak, y'all. I go through things. There are things that happen in my house. There's things that happen in my body. There's things that happen in my family. I'm not immune from this. However, at the end of the day, I know who my Savior is. At the end of the day, when it's all done, I don't know how people do it. Now, I know, I get it why people turn to drugs and why people turn to alcohol and they turn to illicit sex and all these kind of things. Why? They looking for a coping mechanism. And I'm telling you that Jesus is here to help you cope. I'm telling you here that Jesus is your cope. What? He is your coping mechanism because he said, cast your cares for he cared for you. So on today, would you trust him? Let me finish this off with praying for you. For those who are out of my podcast land, I'm so grateful for you being on the podcast. God bless you all. Love you all. Hope that this podcast has found you today in perfect peace. That God will take care of you and go forward. Join our podcast. It's free of charge. gospelprofessor.podbean.com. Also, you can find it on iTunes. Look up the 10-minute prayer, 10-minute Bible study, and it'll pop right up and you can take that with you. God bless you all. Love you.